Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort you, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received of Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. So God's being very generous here. He's saying, as he says elsewhere, I punished you twice for your sins. You got double what you deserved. And yet, in another place, Ezra says, you punished us less than our sins deserve, because our sins deserve death. The wages of sin is death. But God is so enthusiastic here about his people. He says, oh, you poor darlings, I punished you double what you should have had for your sins. The voice of one who calls out, prepare in the desert the way of the Lord. Now, those words are quoted about John the Baptist, that he went out into the desert and got people to repent. He was preparing people to accept Jesus. So make a level highway in the desert for our God. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven will be made level, and the rough places will be made like a plain. So the proud people will be brought down, the mountains are brought down, and the valleys, the people who think so bad about themselves that I'm no good, I'm not good enough, they're lifted up. And so we all come to the same level. And the glory of Yahweh will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. The voice of one saying, cry, and another one said, what shall I cry? All flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because Yahweh's breath blows upon it. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So, no matter how beautiful or strong a person might seem when they're young, the grass withers, the flower fades. And that's how people are, like grass. They grow up and very quickly they are cut down and we die. But the word of our God stands forever. And in the context here, the word of their God was that Jerusalem would be restored and the kingdom of God would be established. So that is the reality, that although we fade and all that we do in life fades very quickly, you just got to walk into an old folks' home and you see that the glory has faded. But the word of God, which is specifically in this context the purpose of saving people, of giving people everlasting life in his kingdom, that is going to continue forever. You who tell good news to Zion, go up to a high mountain. You who tell good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. That's pretty much quoted at the end of the Bible in Revelation 22, where we're told that Jesus is going to come back, and his reward is with him, to give every man according as his work shall be. So it says, tell people this, and fear not. Lift up your voice and fear not. Well, we all fear, don't we, to actually get up there and preach the gospel, especially to people we know and mix with. We are to lift up the voice and tell them this about the coming of Jesus and not fear. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them. In his breast he will gently lead those who have their young. So Jesus is our shepherd now, and he will be our shepherd when he comes back. And you see how gentle he is. He leads everybody understanding what their particular situation is. If a sheep was pregnant, was carrying their young, he led them gently, didn't demand so much of them. And so that is exactly how Jesus is with us. He understands our situation. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the sky with his span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of Yahweh, or has taught him as his advisor? Sure, God took the initiative in all this, and he has, if you like, all the figures, all the math, all the statistics, that you could possibly imagine. He knows how much the mountains weigh. He's calculated the dust of the earth. And of course, Abraham's seed, those baptized into Jesus in our day, are to be as the dust of the earth. And God knows exactly all of us. That's the idea. Just as the Good Shepherd Jesus knows which sheep is pregnant, which one isn't, knows exactly their situation, so we are known by God. And that is a huge comfort. With whom did God take counsel or advice? And who taught him in the path of justice? And who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on a balance. Behold, he lifts up the islands like a very little thing. The forest of Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its animals sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations are like nothing before him. They're regarded by him as less than nothing and vanity. Now, this doesn't mean that God does not value the individual person. He does. But the idea is that all their strength, their apparent strength, is absolutely nothing. It weighs nothing in the final balance of God's working with man. A workman has cast an image, and the goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts silver chains for it. He who is too poor to make an offering chooses a tree that won't rot. He seeks a skillful workman to set up an engraved image for him that will not be moved. This is almost poking fun at idolatry, that you get a guy to cut a tree down, another guy to hew it, and then another guy to cover it with gold or something like that, make it look pretty. This is all the works of men's hands. It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. They are planted scarcely, sown scarcely, their stock has scarcely taken root in the ground. He merely blows on them and they wither, and the whirlwind takes them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these. Who brings out their army by number? I think it's talking about the stars. He's saying, look up at the sky and look at the stars, just as God told Abraham years ago. He calls them all by their name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power. Not one is lacking. So just as Jesus knows every sheep and knows the one that's pregnant and the one that isn't, so God measures and weighs all the dust on the earth. He knows all the stars and gives them all a name. So the idea is that God has got this personal knowledge of each of us and our situation. So man is not alone. And that is the great fear, I suppose, of everybody, that I am alone. But man is not alone. Why do you say, Jacob, and speak, Israel, my way is hidden from Yahweh, and the justice due me is disregarded by my God? See, that's the problem with Israel. They thought, no, God's forgotten us. We've sinned, we've fallen away. He's forgotten. And the point is, with all this talk about the shepherd and the God who knows everything, this is not the case. Haven't you known? Haven't you heard? The everlasting God, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't faint. He isn't weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. He increases the strength of him who has no might. Even the youths faint and get weary, and the young men utterly fail. But those who wait for Yahweh, that's what we're doing, waiting for Jesus to come back, will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So this is the wonderful hope that we have, that we will walk and not faint, that we will be given this strength to go on in God's ways. This is what the kingdom will be like, that we will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. And he gives power to the weak. He gives these things to the weak. So that's why we are weak in this life. That's why we're limited. It's why things don't work out as they could do or perhaps should do, humanly speaking. Because God wants to teach us and to show us our weakness, that he might then make us strong forever and ever.